Hi all, Doug here. It's Monday, January 25th, and this is 42 Minutes. My previously scheduled show has postponed a bit and probably won't happen until much later in the week if it does, but I still felt the need to check in and remind you of our Indiegogo that is still in play. Aim your browser at thesyncbook.com/oli2014 or click the link on today's show notes. It's worth a damn. It's interesting and definitely worth your time. Give it a look and your consideration, and thank you for doing so. I should also mention that there is a member hangout tonight as well. Hope you can make it if you're interested. And in other news, we chose a book for the next 42 Minutes book club, Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer. If you are interested in participating, get in touch, and maybe you can join us for this show, which will happen sometime in early April. Send me a note to mail@42minutes.com. As we've mentioned on the show in the past, 2016 is a tower year. Things collapse. That's the Trump. And I'm finding our moment very interesting. A thought that I had after my discussion with Gary Bobroff regarding the archetypal feminine, wherein we noted the popularity of both the Da Vinci Code and crop circles, as well as their apparent media disappearance, is the possibility that perhaps these ideas have moved from the realm of the abstract to a more concrete expression, or that they've moved from the subconscious to the conscious and are playing out in being currently. Definitely, we are all in an interesting moment. We're having it all together. Another further example of this you can hear is Alan Sentiments in yesterday's Always Record number 149. Give it a listen. Well, nonetheless, check out the Indiegogo, consider the Boise Springs Sync and the 2016 Oli Sync Summit, and let's refine the center again together. As for today's show, I'm going to share with you Marc Maron's most recent monologue from his WTF podcast. It seems to illustrate and convey the moment that I'm speaking of. I guess we all know that there's light at the end of this tunnel. The 17th card is the star, after all, and it represents hope. But we might have to trudge through some hell to get there, though. Have a great week. I'll talk soon. Take care. Oh, and by the way, I left the ads in Marc Maron's monologue because I felt like that was the proper thing to do because I was stealing it. Enjoy. Maybe you already subscribed, but I found it interesting. I'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
Hey folks, this episode is brought to you by the new Netflix documentary series, Chelsea Does. Watch as Chelsea Handler goes into the field to ask hard-hitting questions on the topics that interest her most. Marriage, Silicon Valley, racism, and drugs. An official selection of the Sundance Film Festival, this four-part documentary series is sure to be a fun ride. Nobody does it like Chelsea. All episodes stream globally January 23rd on Netflix.com. Also, people, imagine there's a place where all your favorite comedy can live in peace and harmony. Well, there is. It's called CISO. It's a new comedy streaming service with all the quotable classics you grew up with, like Monty Python, The Kids in the Hall, and SNL. Or maybe your favorites are 30 Rock, Parks and Recreation, and The Office. Or you want to watch new original series you don't even know you love yet, like the UCB show premiering this month exclusively on CISO. And the best part, CISO is always ad-free and only $3.99. No joke. Why aren't you laughing now? Go to CISO.com and try it out for free. CISO.com. You get it. All right, let's do the show.
Lock the gates!
All right, folks, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fucksters, what the fuck nicks? What's happening? I'm Marc Maron. This is WTF, my podcast. Thank you for tuning in. If you're new here, welcome. If you're just hanging around, nice to see you again, wherever you are. If you're digging snow, I hope I'm helping out, maybe, perhaps, hopefully, by the time that you hear this, maybe you'll have that all done, or maybe some of it's melted away. But if I can be any assistance, If you're sitting at home alone, perhaps by candlelight because you have to, I hope that I am a comforting force in your life. I hope I'm distracting you. It's one of the things I actually miss it. I know it's probably hard for you to hear this, but I sort of miss that about the East Coast, that day where you wake up and there's this calm, there's this peace, there's this quiet, there's no way to get your car out, and there's just no way to see how it's ever going to thaw. And then you realize, like, well, this is all pretty right now, but pretty soon it's just going to turn into gross, gray, icy mud, crusty garbage, just things like the days of thawing are really kind of they're relieving, but quite disgusting on the road. But anyways, I hope you're okay and you made it through it. You know who I'm talking to. So what's going on? Let's start. I will tell you this right now, right out of the gate. Michael Moore is my guest today. This conversation was recorded in November, and we held it until we were closer to the release of Michael's new documentary, Where to Invade Next. So I guess what I'm saying very plainly is you will not hear us talk about the current water crisis in Flint, Michigan. The true horror of that situation had not come to light at the time we recorded this conversation. And as you know, I'm sure Michael has plenty to say if he hasn't already about that. But this was done a little while back, but it's a good talk. Also, I want to mention here, because, you know, a lot of you didn't buy my book. That's fine. I mean, how much of me can you take? But I want to mention that the ebook of Attempting Normal is on sale for a limited time for $1.99. Everywhere ebooks are sold. So there's that. We got to talk about some shit. All right. Let me figure it out. Let me figure out how to talk about it. Now, the first time that I met, that I really sort of met or knew about Amy Schumer was probably 2011. And the situation was pretty, it was amazing because I didn't know her. I did not know her comedy. I was doing a live WTF at the now defunct Comics Comedy Club in New York. And we had broken up that night. There were two shows. We had the nerd show and then we had the dirt show. This was my concept. So the second show was just going to be filthy comics. And on that show, I had booked Joe DeRosa, Kurt Metzger, Anthony Jeselnik, Robert Kelly, Dave Attell was closing. And that, you know, that is just an avalanche of honest, raw filth. You know, just beautiful, expressive, dirty dudes. And at that time, Amy was dating Anthony Jeselnik, and she was backstage. And I said to my producer, I'm like, we should put her on. I mean, if she wants to go on at the end of this thing. Yeah, but part of me was like, you know, she immediately said, yeah, I'll go on. I said, you want to go on? Yeah, I'll go on. And this was, and I was going to use her to close with. And that is a murderer's row there, buddy. Who's saying is that? I see that around a lot, but it doesn't matter. And, you know, DeRosa, Metzger, Jeselnik, Kelly, Attell. And Amy said she would close. And I was astounded, you know, because there was part of me, I didn't know who she was. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, can this chick handle this thing? You know, And I brought her out, and she just fucking killed, and it was amazing. And that was 2011. You know, she's the real fucking deal. She's a real fucking comic, no question. And then after the show, you know, I'd been given a little bit of money to pay, like $50, you know, to people, to the comics, you know, from comics. And, you know, my producer Brendan and I were, you know, he was giving out the money and we went to give Attell his 50 and he said, you know what, give it to Amy. All right. So that obviously a kind gesture on behalf of Attell and, you know, a respectful gesture. But the point being, Amy Schumer is a real fucking comic. So here's the thing. All this fucking, this, onslaught of accusations, this momentum, this fucking mob attack on Amy Schumer, it's fucking ridiculous. It's just fucking ridiculous. So where does it come from? What is it really about? What is the real pattern here? Right? What is it? What is the real pattern? Three examples on a video of, I don't even, here's why I'm talking about this. Not because it's my responsibility. I am a comedian and it does rile me, obviously, but I was dragged into it a bit because, a few months ago on the episode with Aaron Draplin, episode 649, I had watched Amy's special and she did a bit and, it was about, about people coming, about everyone coming. Now, this is not, again, if you work dirty, talking about cum is going to be part of your repertoire. I mean, fucking Lenny did it, right? Did you come good? Did you come? Did you come good? I didn't steal that. I'm citing it. I watched her bit and I was like, oh, fuck. That's a lot like my bit. It's almost like the female side of my bit. Now, my immediate thought, and I'm just repeating myself because the episode that I did it on, 649 Aaron Draplin, was taken out of context, edited. The conversation I had was edited by some fucking monkey to sound like I accused Amy of stealing. And then Opie and Jim got duped by a troll. They played it on the air. I didn't think that Amy stole my bit. I was mad that we had a similar bit. That was it. There was no way either of us could have taken each other's bit. She lives in a different city. We don't work together. We're both headliners. I knew all this. I found out that we taped those specials a week apart. There was no way. But we don't live in the same world, really. We don't see each other. Now we both have a similar bit. So what? So what? There's no stealing. Everybody does come. The point is that some fucking monkey, to serve an agenda, edited my words to support his agenda. His agenda to accuse Amy of stealing. Now, there's a difference between, justice and fucking annihilation, attack. It's a difference. Now, I know some female comics, Wendy Liebman, Kathleen Madigan, Tammy Pescatelli, got mad at her and tweeted things and whatever. And they eventually, I think all of them recanted or apologized because it's fucking ridiculous. But that gave a foundation to what's happening now. And what is happening now? Is it about justice? Who's really attacking Amy Schumer? I watch those fucking videos. Yeah, I'm a comic. If you're a comic and this meme has driven into your skull and you're actually sitting there going, I think she did it, then you're a fucking amateur or you're bitter or you don't like her. The tabloid media, they're complicit out of desperation and you can't expect them to have a moral compass. So they support the fucking meme. The video goes out. Where does it come from? Who are those fucking people, right? So I watched your video, the first joke, the Wendy Liebman joke, whatever. It's a one-liner. Who gives a fuck? I mean, if somebody's really hanging on to a 20-year-old one-liner as being this essential part of her fucking oeuvre, that's crazy. One-liners are disposable. They're disposable. On nightly, writers who write monologues for fucking TV shows, they throw away 50 one-liners a day. A genius like Dave Attell has thrown away more one-liners than most of us have ever written. Attell's hilarious. It becomes impossible to sort of vet this stuff, is my point. As a comic, that one-liner about, I like when men pay, whatever, anyone could have written that. Any woman could have written that. Any comic could have written that. That's just the truth of it. If you write, you write, you write. Your point of view, you write to your point of view. She's a woman, they're women, and that's, it was easy. It's not theft. It's just a matter of time. It's just a one-liner. It means nothing. Does not define Amy. Doesn't define Wendy. That has nothing to, if that joke didn't exist with either of them, who cares? They're still who they are. They're entertainers or comics. Not theft. The second bit. The Kathleen Madigan bit, a similar idea became a sketch on Amy's show. Shows are written by committee. There's a group of writers in the room. Someone come up with an idea. That was the idea. I guarantee you, even if somebody said, I think I heard a similar joke about this, but it wasn't the same thing. It was about Oprah Winfrey paying somebody. Even if that came up, I don't know whose joke it was. There's a real good chance that they would be like, it's different. You know why? Because it is different. It's a sketch. It was executed. It was a piece of film. It was orchestrated, composed sketch with many beats. That idea is not owned, for fuck's sake. Not theft. just stupid. The Pescatelli thing, I don't even know what that, what was that about? Women with thin eyebrows? Well, who, yeah, shit, I was just making that joke in junior high school. They're not anything. They're not, none of them are mystifying original observations, really. They're just not. Amy Schumer's a comedian. You can't, it becomes impossible to vet mundane material based on observations. It becomes very difficult. There are thousands of fucking comics churning out jokes every fucking day everywhere. The people that I've spoken to, the people that I've met in this business that have been accused of joke theft, I truly believe that most of them have no idea that they're stealing them. The amount, that doesn't, that's not an apology for the ones that have certainly been guilty of stealing swaths of material. But in terms of one-liners or little ideas like that, I mean, it's, are you fucking kidding me? Comedians absorb what's coming in and they process it. We've all been in the rooms of stand-up comedy clubs for most of our lives, hours and hours. And now the thing is in order to vet a joke against the history of recorded comedy on album or on television, it's fucking impossible. And this is not an apologist position. This is just a reality. All you can do is like, ah, that sounds a little familiar. Maybe I had to, you know, hold off on that. It just becomes impossible to vet everything, especially little ideas. I mean, Attell used to drive, Attell's hilarious. Attell is like one of the most prolific joke writers in the world. And there are a few of us, you know, sometime, you know, back in the day. I mean, I think I've talked about this here before. Once or twice a year, maybe you'll get a call from Attell and he'd be like, hey, do you do a bit about jerking off in the Bible? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, I thought, all right. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You come up with an idea. You know, that's an original idea. Jerking off in the Bible is pretty specific. And I'm flattered that he thought maybe that I might have done a bit about jerking off in the Bible. But if you come up with a thing, an observational thing or a bit about, you know, something that we all experience, how are you going to vet that? It's not even that it's hack. It's just we all share the same reality. And if you're a comic and you're thinking funny, the possibilities of a lot of people doing similar jokes around things that we all fucking do, or things that are sort of our point of view related, is high. Have you watched fucking network sitcoms? Do you watch the monologues that happen every fucking night on nightly talk shows? Where's the outrage about the repetition of current event jokes or the repetition of sitcom plots? I mean, come on. This is fucking comedy for fuck's sake. So, what is the pattern? What is the real pattern? It's certainly not a pattern of Amy stealing jokes. That it doesn't exist. So what is it? Well, I'll tell you. I had a thing on this on my website on WTFpod.com. And there used to be a comment board, just an open comment board. Now, this is true shit. You know, and sometimes, you know, I get, you know, people say I don't have enough women on the show, but I have as many women as I can get. The point is, I had an open comment section that I had to shut down. Now, and it's changed now. Now you have to, if you want to comment on WTFpod.com, you have to, you know, go through Facebook. So you have to identify yourself. It's a little harder to be anonymous when you have to post through Facebook. But before we did that, without fucking fail, if we had a woman guest, doesn't matter who it was or what she did, if there was a woman guest on this show, the comment section would blow up with fucking douchebags attacking that woman with just fucking garbage, slander, violence, just nasty shit. Just a fucking string of anonymous fucking monsters slinging garbage at any woman guest. So what is that about? That was the pattern. You know what I mean? So then you start looking at this attack, you know, this fight for justice, this sort of righteous idea that you're going to police comedy and call out joke thieves. So That means that there's some fucking dude, and they're all dudes. Look at it. They're all fucking dudes who champion this thing. So where's all this outrage coming from? Look at it. Look at it. Poke around a little bit. They're all dudes. They're all fucking dudes. And they're all saying the same fucking thing. It's got nothing to do with justice. This is about fucking annihilating a woman, annihilating a comedian, but it's about annihilation. It's got nothing to do. Here's what happens is that they find this portal. It happened with the Gamergate thing too, but they find this portal. You know, Amy was vulnerable. So they exploited that vulnerability by trying to make a case and putting a lot of work into it, into this case, to the point where they manipulated some of my words to suit their agenda and get that through to try to make that meme happen. So they push and they push and they push. So now this fucking video is out there. Now this meme is out there. So now the portal is open. So who the fuck are these people? It's my belief that what's really happening is that there is this mob momentum. There is this consensus built. These guys, they have leaders. They know who their leaders are. They all share the same ideology. They have leaders because they're too weak not to have leaders. And they all think the same. What is happening with Amy has nothing to do with justice. It has nothing to do with comedy. What's happening is that this is the real pattern, is that she, through the internet and through video, is literally being verbally career raped by an army of unfuckable hate nerds. They play video games all day, then they watch MMA, and then they spend the evening jerking off to deep throat gag porn, and then they wake up and they put a few hours in to shaming Amy, to verbally fucking abusing Amy. You read the comments. This is not about justice. This is about hate. Now look, I'm no fucking, saint. You know, all fucking dudes, have their sexist moments. All of us. Some of us are teachable. We all have our sexist moments. And hopefully we evolve out of that. But misogyny requires commitment. And it requires, in this case, a mob mentality of like-minded people. So this isn't about justice. Not in this case. This is about, it's about hate. It's about anger. It's about complete fucking woman bashing. And it's about this contingent of culture. A lot of them, if you go look at their Twitter feeds, a lot of them are Trump supporters because they like an authoritarian leader, because they service their hate and their fucking horrible fear and insecurity. Yeah, in terms of, Amy's just a fucking comic. She's an entertainer and she's the real deal, whether you like her jokes or not. She's a real comic, but she's a woman, and these fuckers are trying to destroy her. These are specific people. But this momentum culturally is insanely dangerous, because what it does to creative people, or to people that are trying to put themselves out there, or to people that are trying to do new things and open up the minds and do that kind of stuff, is that we become fucking self-censoring and paranoid and crazy. And it becomes, sometimes it's sort of like, is it worth it? So if you're just an average dude, and this spreads throughout the culture, where people are very quick to know it all, like you can't write a sentence without somebody going like, oh, somebody said it, so-and-so said the same thing. So it's a similar thing. So, this need to one up, this need to call, foul, to call theft or whatever. All it's going to do eventually is completely stifle creativity. Now, obviously, plagiarism is bad when it exists, when it happens. Obviously, people profiting over other people's, work, it's horrible. It denies people a living. But mostly, most of the time, it's just about stifling voices, shutting people down. And if these guys, the momentum that exists, the narrow-minded, hateful, frightened momentum of socially, emotionally, and psychologically, and morally compromised individuals wins, then it's fucking over. There's no progress. There's no creativity. There's no sort of moral compass. It's a fucking cultural malignancy. But the bottom line is, it's like, hey, either you think Amy's funny or you don't, but This is whatever's going on right now is not about justice or joke theft or anything other than a fucking army of unfuckable hate nerds panicking because they feel like what they represent in the world is diminishing and they can't adapt to progress.
On a scale of 1 to 10, she's blue again, but she's not the same sad girl you knew back when.
You're gonna find another mystery behind.